Come on, everybody. Let's get ready to worship. Go ahead and stand up. Everybody ready? It's Thursday night throwdown. Everybody ready to get your worship on and praise our God and King because he's worthy? Anybody? Yes. Amen. On this first song, you know how we do it. Just get up out of your seats and go greet one another.
Right. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
He's great, isn't he? And he's worthy of our praise. Father, we just bless you in this house tonight. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way in each and every heart, God. Don't let us go out of here the same way we came in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good evening, y'all. How y'all doing? Man, I sound like I'm muffled up. Praise God. Add a little more bass to it. Praise God. More bass, baby. How y'all doing this evening? So right off the bat, we're going to talk about announcements. Don't forget that we've got the men's breakfast. Most of y'all are women in here. I got a few men over here. But we got the men's breakfast this Saturday at 8 o'clock. Please come out and join us. If you want to get involved with the cooking, Lord will be happy for your help. And he shows up here at about 6 o'clock. Also, on December 16th, trying out this photogenic memory of mine. Not photogenic. December 16th, we've got the U-Turn Christmas party at the Methodist Resort out on Bridgeport. There is directions and address and all that on the bulletin board up front in the foyer. There's going to be Chinese Christmas, Japanese karaoke.
That ain't PC, man.
No.
I said, that ain't PC.
Yeah, I don't, amen. What else are we going to have? We're going to have catered dinner, amen. That's a delayed reaction, sweetheart. It really is, amen. What else? We've got the die ball unit next weekend. We've got Goodman unit this weekend. My wife and I will be doing the Goodman unit. Keep us in prayer, amen. This is a new unit for us. And if you don't know, I'll just tell you real quick, the assistant warden that was up at the Jordan unit in Pampa was actually an officer, a CO3 on Beto unit whenever I was doing time on Beto. He and I know each other very well. I watched him make rank and then we run into each other out here at the Jordan unit. And now he is the head warden for the Goodman unit. And he says, man, we got to have you guys out there. Got to have you guys out there, you know, so we're going to be able to go down there and share testimony and share the gospel. Amen. I get gooses. Amen. Die ball unit next weekend. We've got the Polunsky unit the weekend after. No, that's the Thursday after that. And then we've got East Ham unit the weekend after that. We've got an entirely full week or month this month. Amen. So keep your prison team in prayer. Amen. Safe travels and all that good stuff. and that the gospel be shared, which we're going to, you know, we're going to do that, and that it be received. Amen. And with that, y'all stand up. Let's praise and worship. Amen.
Let us experience the glory of
your goodness that us become aware of your presence, let us experience the glory of your goodness, let us become more aware of your presence, let us experience the glory.
I find peace.
you more than you. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. No, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Bear your cross as you wish. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
My cool sweats and my shirt and my hat today, but I just got in from Wichita, Kansas. Amen. So how is everybody? Today, my brother, he called me today, so I come up, or I called him. I said, hey, I don't think I'm going to make it back in time. You want to preach? And he said, man, I ain't got nothing to wear. I said, go by and grab you some sweats and throw them on. So I throwed mine on so we'd match. Amen. Preach the gospel. Praise God. I was reading this morning, and as they were singing, I was thinking about this. I've never seen this scripture like this, and I want to read it to you. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul's talking about, he says, it starts out in verse 17, he says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he says, and be not drunk with wine wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and natural songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. I've never read that like that before. And I was reading that this morning. Now you got to grab a hold of what Paul's comparing here. Right? Sometimes we read over stuff, and we just read stuff in order to check it off our devotional. But when we're reading, we got to be praying, Lord, talk to me. Lord, speak to me. And when we pray the Word of God starts being revealed to you. Amen? When we pray the Word of God starts being revealed to you. And y'all have heard me say many, many times, if you don't know what to pray the Word of God. And I've given examples on what it means to pray the Word of God. Amen? But when we pray the Word of God will be revealed to you. If the Word of God is not being revealed through your prayer, then pray the Word of God. Because Paul tells us the perfect will of God is the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible says that he's bound by his Word. Amen. He is bound by his Word. In other words, God cannot operate outside his Word. Amen. Because the Bible tells us that when he comes back, what is it going to say? It's going to be written across his leg. His name is what? The Word of God. The Word of God is God in flesh. Amen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when we look at this and go to Ephesians 5:17 real quick, this is just something cool that I seen today. When I see something cool, I like to share it with other people. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He says, be not unwise. He says, so in other words, what does it mean to be unwise? To be unwise means not to know the will of God. Amen. To know the will of God is to be wise. So if we take the two things that Paul is saying here and we compare them to one another, if we'll slow down and read the Word of God will explain itself to us. So he says, wherefore be ye not unwise. And then there's a comma, but he says, but understanding the will of the Lord. So being unwise is not to understand God's will. How do we understand God's will? We got to pray the Word. And when we pray the Word, now when we pray the Word of God over our lives, then what we are doing is we are coming into agreement with what the Word of God says. Amen. Many of us, we get out there and we don't read the Word and we don't spend any time in the Word and we wonder why our prayer life is dull and why it's dead and why it falls on its face, because we're praying something that's not the will of God. But when you pray the will of God, the Spirit of God starts moving. God is not going to make alive that which is not His will. No matter how bad you or I want it. Are you with me? God is not going to bless the lust of the flesh. Even if you do, blanket in something called prayer. And many of us, we think because we're praying the lust of our flesh that God's going to bless it. And what we're really doing is crying out from the lust of our own flesh, asking that God would bless the lust of our flesh. And we think because we call it prayer that He's going to do it. That's why we must pray the Word of God, because the Word of God is the perfect will of God. And when we pray the Word of God, now we can feel the Spirit of God moving. Why? Because now we're in agreement with His Word. Amen. And then he says, now I want y'all to see this. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now think about that. I used to be a pretty good drinker. Anybody in it, don't raise your hand. Anybody in here still? Don't raise your hands. I used to be a pretty good drink. I used to be a pretty good. I used to be pretty good at doing drugs. I was pretty good at drinking. But you know what? I never got drunk by not grabbing the bottle and putting it to my lips. So when I was reading this morning, and he said, and be not drunk with wine. In other words, he said, it says, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, Paul's comparing two things here. He's comparing being drunk with wine compared to being filled with the Spirit. So in order for a person to become drunk on wine, what do they got to do steadily? They steadily got to pick up the wine and they got to touch it to their lips and they got to drink it. See, he's saying, be ye not drunk with wine, but he's saying, be ye. Why is he comparing being drunk with wine compared to being filled with the Spirit? And I've often wondered that about this passage right here. And I've heard preachers try to explain it away. I've heard preachers try to sit there and say, hey, when somebody's drunk on wine, Ronnie, what do? They stumble around. So then we get preachers out there that are having these big parties where people are stumbling around, falling down on the ground, laughing like they're drunk, flopping around and all that. Anybody ever seen that? But he's comparing two things here. He's saying, be ye not drunk on wine and excess, but he says, be ye filled with the Spirit. So what he's comparing here, what I believe the Spirit of God is showing us here, is he's saying, in the same way, he's saying, be ye filled with the Spirit. He's comparing that a person right here, in order to be drunk with wine, you're going to have to physically get involved with doing something in order to get yourself intoxicated. You're going to have to go to the store. You're going to have to buy the liquor. You're going to have to pour it in the glass. You're going to have to drink it. And you're going to have to drink a few of them in order to get drunk. He's saying, be ye filled with the Spirit. There's a difference between being sealed by the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. You're sealed by the Spirit at the moment of salvation. But to be ye filled by the Spirit, in the same way that you got to get filled with wine by continue drinking the wine, to be filled with the Spirit, we got to continue praising God throughout the day. And the Holy Spirit will continue filling us throughout the day. Y'all ain't with me on this morning. Is it more time? This is evening time, right? So in other words, what he's saying, if you want to be filled, we got to continually go to God to stay filled. If a person wants to get drunk, they got to continue going to the wine. If a person wants to get drunk, they got, and you and I, we've got to continue going to God throughout the day. When we're about to lose our temper, we got to come to God and say, God, you know what? I'm trying to take control of my life again. And anytime you and I are living in sin, that's just a simple rebellion against God of us trying to take control of our life again. And to be filled with the Spirit is to have a constant understanding of our need to be complete, continually submitting to God and continually crying out to Him by speaking to Him on a regular basis throughout the day. Y'all looking at me like a calf at a new gate. You know why some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about? Because some of you ain't living what I'm talking about. That's why some of us ain't living what we're talking about. In other words, when we come to God, okay, to be filled with the Spirit, what God is saying here, don't be drunk on wine. If you and I would pray the same way we used to drink, if you and I would pray the same way we used to drink, if you and I would pray the same way we used to smoke, if you and I would pray the same way we used to cuss, if you and I would pray, and he's saying be filled. In order to be filled with the wine, you got to continue going to it. And you get so filled that it changes you. And this is what he's comparing it to right here. He says, don't be filled with that. He says, don't be going over drinking that mess. He said, if you're going to drink something, he said, instead of drinking, he said, being filled with the Spirit. Now, how do we get filled with the Spirit? He says, speaking to yourselves. Wait a minute. Now, look at the next verse. If you ain't catching this. Now, he explains to us how to do it. He says, look, he says, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Then he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And then he goes on. He says, this is how we be filled. And then when you read all about that, listen to me. Wives, listen to me. Husbands, listen to me. One of the ways to be filled with the Spirit of God is wives submitting to your husband. One of the ways to be filled with the Spirit of God, because what you and I got to learn to do is us and the Spirit of God, they work in coordination with one another. As we submit to the Spirit of God, God fills us with the Spirit, which continues giving us the desires to continue submitting to the Spirit of God. Are you with me on that? So as we read here, he says now, he says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now you got to understand. Now look, he's saying speaking to yourselves. How do you stay filled with the Spirit? How do you stay filled with wine? Keep on drinking. How do you stay filled with the Spirit? Keep on speaking. Keep on praying. Keep on getting up in the morning, speaking to yourselves. And you're saying, self, you know what? I yield complete and total control to God today. Self, you know what? I feel my anger rising up a little bit today. I said, self, you know what? And we continue. And when we fall down, what many of us do, when we fall down or when we screw up, we quit talking to God because we think that God ain't going to hear us. But you know what? Many times when we fall down, that might be because we're getting a little low on the things. And what we need to do is fill back up. Amen. He says, so how do we do it? He says, by speaking to yourselves in Psalms. You know, there's Psalms in the Bible that we're to sing to ourselves and to one another. Read the book of Psalms. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. I will give you praise. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? What man shall do to me? For God is my shield. God is my protector. God is my enabler. Who shall be against me? See, these are Psalms. These are how we're to speak to ourselves. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God starts moving in our life, and we get filled up with the Spirit of God. Because why? Because we're holding him to his word, not as though he forgot it, but it's reminding us of his word. And he's bound by his word to perform what his word says he is to do. And when you and I are praying the word of God, now we're praying the perfect will of God. And we can stand on it as a foundation and hold God to his word because he is bound by his very own word. Are y'all with me? No, y'all ain't. Some of y'all ain't. I can tell by looking at some of your faces. Some of y'all lost as a goose in a snowstorm. That's all right, though. That's why I'm telling you this. That's right. Amen. And he says, giving thanks always. What does he tell us? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What's in your heart during the day? What's in your heart? Complaining, belly aching? Because, listen, your prayers are being answered, whether they're negative or whether they're good. So really, are we just always, is my heart, instead of being full of melodies and the things of God, what's your heart full of? Don't tell me. And you know what? You want to be filled with the Spirit. You need to start taking that stuff and laying it out before God and saying, God, I don't want to be filled up with this mess. I don't want to be filled up with this concern. I don't want to be filled up with this bad attitude. Lord, your word tells me that I can be filled with the Spirit. How can I be filled with the Spirit? By singing spiritual songs, by singing songs and hymns and melodies. So you know what, God? Being that you are bound by your word and you told me to be filled with your Spirit, amen, and you said by singing and speaking, then that's what I'm going to do. And I fully expect that you're going to replace in my heart with what the things are that I'm speaking right now. I believe that right now, look, church, look at me, look at me, look at me. If your thoughts, okay, listen to me. If your thoughts and your life, if you're filled with desires of negativity, fear, worry, unworthiness, if you are filled with all of these things, the reason that is because that's what you're singing to yourself in your own heart, and that's what you're being filled with. That's why God says be filled with the Spirit by singing songs and hymns and praises and thankfulness. Whatever it is that you're allowing to continue going through your mind and allowing to live in your heart, the reason it's manifesting in your life is because that's your prayer. And when I say prayer, not prayer to God, not saying that, but God's telling us how to be filled with the Spirit. How to be filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves. Self, you need to straighten up. Self, you need to tighten up. Self, you're kind of lazy about God's word. Self, you're kind of lazy about prayer time. Self, my self, your relationship with God ain't nothing more than going to church, but outside that, ain't nothing. Self, you know what? I'm going to praise God. Self, you know what? We're going to start praising God. Why? Not because I feel like it, not because I want to, but because the word of God says we need to. Amen. He says, so speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Did he say some ways? Always. If you can't see any reason that you got to be thankful, then that's your problem. You need to ask God to open up the eyes. Amen. And he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your husband. See, what I've seen in this today is, see, many of us, we want to be filled with the Spirit and then become obedient to God. But God's telling us, be obedient to what he says, and the reward is being filled with the Spirit. Now, there's a difference between being sealed and filled. See, many of us, if we're born again and saved, yes, we're sealed. Because the Bible says that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? But now I need to be filled. are you with me on that? And how do we fill it? How do we fill? You drink milk, you got to refill it. You drink your water, you got to refill it. Paul, he's telling us, be filled. And who's he talking to, Ronnie? He's talking to the church. If he's talking to the church, they've already been sealed. Now he's telling them, he didn't say get filled, he says be filled. Then he's telling them how to be filled. Be filled by doing what? Singing to yourselves, talking to yourselves, speaking to yourself, singing spiritual songs to yourself. And what this does is this encourages, and this is an encouragement to self. And the Bible says, be filled. And we have got the promise of the Word of God that if we sing to ourselves, and then he says, how, what's another way to be filled? Ronnie, I'm going to let you preach in a minute. I was going to preach this tonight. I didn't plan on getting here this early. What was it? Let me get my Bible up here. Look, now I love how all this goes together. Look, and then he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melodies in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Now this is where we miss it. Now watch, giving thank God the Father in the name of our Lord, submitting how you want to be filled with the Spirit, submit to one another. Now check this out. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives, you want to be filled with the Spirit? Submit to your husband. For the husband is the head. Then he goes on and says, husbands, honor your wife and love your wife as Christ loves the church. Husbands, you want to be filled? Honor you, love your wives as Christ loves the church. This is, I've never seen it this simple. See, we get filled with Spirit. We're going to the next meeting, asking the next evangelist that got sweaty palms lay hands on us and say, God said, be filled. He didn't say, go get somebody to lay hands on you, did he? He said, be filled. What you going to do? Start singing to yourself. Start singing psalms. Start speaking to yourself. Start speaking the word. Start obeying God. Start submitting to one another. Start submitting to husbands. Wives submit to the husband. Husbands submit to the wife. Children, how do you be filled with the Spirit? He goes on, talks about obeying your parents. Obeying your parents. Children, look at me. Kiddos, look at me. Yeah, y'all are kids. If you're under 21, you're kids. If you ain't married and you're 40, you're a kid. Y'all look at me right here. Look at me right here. He says, obey your parents. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God? You fill with something. So if you continue disobeying your parents, see, listen, the same way that we are disobeying our parents, we're filled with rebellion. See, when wives don't submit to their husbands, we're filled with rebellion toward them. When husbands are not honoring the wives, we're filled with rebellion against God's word. But he says, you want to be filled with the Spirit? Do what I say. He says, kiddos, he says, you want things to be well with you? You want a cell phone? You want a radio? You want all this stuff? He says, and honor your parents. Obey them. You're getting filled with something. And so through our disobedience to our parents, what are we being filled with? Rebellion. And we wonder why it stays there. Because what we've done is we've opened up a door for the enemy to come in and fill our heart with stuff that don't belong there. That's why we walk around mad and pouting and upset all the time, and we're miserable. Why are we mad and pouting and upset and miserable? Because we don't like the way we feel. Let that be evidence to you. The reason you don't like the way you feel is because you're not supposed to feel that way. That God's wanting to do something different. So that's why you're walking around pouting, mad, scoured face all the time, upset, thinking everybody's picking on you. When's my ship going to come in? Because what you're doing is what you're being filled with. He says, sing songs. Sing spirit. She said, be filled with the Spirit. It's how you do it. Speaking, singing, submitting, loving, caring, forgiven, repentant, all of those things. That's just a touch of what I believe the Lord showed me in the hotel room this morning. Amen. Now, Ronnie, you go preach. All right. Oh, kiddos, come on down. Come on down. I know when some of y'all look at me, y'all think, when I'm sitting there saying, y'all ain't getting this, but man, I want, but I say that so you'll think about it and get it. Because I know how easy it is. I'd be going down the road listening to one of my preachings, listening to a preaching sermon on my iPod or iPad or whatever they are, app. I'll be going down the road and preacher will say something really good. I'll be like, oh, I missed that. And I'll have to back it up. I'll have to back it up. And when I'm listening to a preacher, I tune in. I tune in. I talk to myself going down the road. When I'm listening to a preacher, if I'm listening to a David Wilkerson or a Carter Conlin, or if I'm listening to Swaggart or whoever it is, I tune in and I talk to myself. And when the preacher's preaching, I'm talking to myself going, ooh, that's good, yeah, yeah. And then I'm praying because the preacher will reveal things to be said. And while I'm going down the road, I'll be saying, Lord, I need to work on that. Lord, forgive me right now. I don't want to wait till I get home. I won't get right now. Amen? But then sometimes I'll have to back it up. I got to back it up. Why? Because I missed something. I missed something that caught my ear, but it didn't catch my heart. I missed something that got in my head, and I recognized that it got in my head. I heard it as a good saying, but I didn't get it good enough, Lori, where it got in here. So I had to go, oh, I got to hear that again. So I got to back it back up because I want to get it from here. I don't want to just hear it here. I want to be able to get it down in here where it becomes a fruit in my life. Amen? Does that make sense? Does that make sense, Bethany Alexander? Does that make sense? I'm over here, baby. Does that make sense? I've been spending some time with God this week. Been spending some time with God the past few weeks. Been spending some time with God for years, but I really feel like he's been talking to me the past few weeks. Be filled. Let me ask you today, did you spend more, if we could take your thoughts inside your head and take them out and set them right here, would those thoughts more represent what I'd read to you, spiritual songs, singing, praising God, and doing that stuff? Or if we could take your thoughts and take them out of your head and set them over here, would you be spending more time meditating on how bad life is, why you ain't going to have this, why you don't have that, what you're going to have to do to get this, what you're going to have to do to get that? Or would it be, would more of our thought life be consumed with God? If we was to just take our thoughts out and set them side by side, 12 hours this side and 12 hours this side, which thought life pile would be bigger? And whichever one's bigger is right where you're at. That's right where you're at. Does that make sense? And some of you just may go through the day and you don't have negative thoughts. You don't have these kind of thoughts. You don't have that kind of thoughts. But your thoughts are about this. Your thoughts are about that. But still not about God. Not being filled. So that's what I was crying out to God today about. I was like, my God, slap me upside the head. He's like, I just did. I just did. Slap me upside the head. Huh? Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We lift up these kiddos in the name of Jesus, each and every one of them, Father. These young children, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you're preparing and equipping right now, in the name of Jesus. I speak complete healing over these children in the name of Jesus, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Nothing missing, nothing broken in the name of Jesus. That any sickness, disease, germ, virus, or fungus that comes in contact with their body dies immediately. Why? Because the greater one lives in these kiddos. Amen. Greater one lives. Well, you think you're quick, don't you? Huh? See, I got you anyway. Went down too, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, y'all follow Miss Bailey back. Follow the kid. Go that way. Y'all go that way. Amen. So tonight I'm going to bring up my brother in the flesh, my brother in the Lord. Amen. He's going to come up. I know he's going to have a good word for us. Coach Shelby, come on up and tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Y'all put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. All four of them. Some of you got four hands. Amen. Where'd this one go? Yeah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, when Kevin called a couple of minutes ago, and I was finishing up the, maybe it was a little more than a couple minutes ago, but it was a couple minutes ago. But anyway, I was at the school, and, you know, this is how I go to school. I've got health classes, and I've got three weight groups a day. And by this time of the day, after you've been screaming, shouting, bucking, kicking, snorting, and all the other stuff that comes with it, yeah, you pretty much, I spent it all but the Holy Ghost. So I have to be running on the Holy Ghost tonight, all right? So I have no idea. The Lord knows what needs to be talked about. But as Kevin was sitting there talking, you know, some of the things that we talk the team about, you know, we have more church in a high school weight room than most people have in what they call their church. And we do it every day. It's what God has called us to do. And something, and this may help some of you. You know, don't, like Kevin was saying, don't be negative about where God has got you. Okay, I'm looking for another word, but I'll just speak the word that I know. Don't be negative about where God has got you. Be content with such as you have. Okay, that's what the Holy Ghost would say. Be content. And it's taken me a long time. You know, there's something about this getting saved, this repentant deal, and it's not an overnight. We get saved instantly by faith, but repentance is a walk, and we're headed somewhere. Jesus was always moving. He's always saying, follow me. And you got to understand that. And I've been through some times to where I kind of keep Jesus in the corner of my eye, and I go over there and mess with something on the side, and then I have to jump back, get back, and take off running until I find him again. You know what I'm talking about. And there were some things, some scenery, some land, some places that I wasn't expecting. And I know that when I got saved, all automatically through the religious teaching of this world, you start thinking automatically, I'm born again and saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I've got some gifts. I've got the gift of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, bless God, I'm supposed to do this, this, and this, and this. But God hadn't told you to do that. God, when he's ready for you to do something, he'll make it clear. He'll let you know. One of the most powerful words that was ever given to me is a man spoke to me, and I believe it was the voice of God. And he said, when God is ready for you to quit coaching, he'll let you know. But nevertheless, for 5 or 6 years, I fought that. And to be honest, even in my mind, around the kids and around that, I was preaching the gospel, doing things, but in my mind, I just didn't want to be there. I just didn't want to be there. And when God led me here to Wise County, to where I'm at right now, and I'd made up my mind. God opened that door, and I made up my mind that, you know what, I'm going to be content. This is what God has called me to do. I'm going to quit running around and looking at what I see on TV and what I see in the world of what a Christian's supposed to be and what he can do and the places he can go. And I'm going to preach the gospel right where I'm at. And when the Holy Ghost leads me to the right, I'm going right. When he leads me to the left, I'm going left. So right now, where we're at is we're in a public school, in a high school, preaching the gospel, telling folks about Jesus, and we do it every day. And we do it all day. It's not a one-time deal. It's not every once-in-a-while deal. It's not tell the kids about Jesus and go over and listen to this and confuse their minds. Somebody's got to live righteous and holy, and it's going to take the Holy Ghost to do it. What reminded me, this scripture here, what Kevin was talking about, is a talk that I had with my younger football players a couple of days ago. And I see that they're in there working out, and a lot of them, we've all got, God has given you something. And I hate to say this, because the gift is the Holy Ghost. But God, everyone that in the sound of my voice that's been created, and all of you have been created by God, you have talents and abilities. Now, those talents and abilities will not get you to heaven. It's faith in Jesus Christ, in him alone, that will get you to heaven. But you all have something. And what I try to do is, in kind of a parable type way, I try to talk to the kids about the scripture and then relate it to what it looks like in the spirit realm. But I saw kids, and they're working out, and they're trying to do right, and they're really afraid to step out there and shimmy down that limb where the fruit is because they're afraid it's going to break off. Sometimes you're going to have to risk some stuff. You're going to have to get out there and trust that if it breaks, you know what? God's going to catch you, or you're just going to starve to death right where you're at. You're going to have to work yourself on out there. And so the scripture that came to mind is when Paul was talking to the son in the faith, and he says, therefore, and this is 2 Timothy 1:6, I put you in remembrance that you, say me, I, whatever it tells you about yourself. This is what Kevin was talking about, speaking in psalms and hymns in Ephesians 5, that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Now, first he said, you stir yourself up. And that's what I was telling those kids. I said, you got to stir yourself up. God has given you ability. You have a place on this team. Not everybody's the quarterback. Not everybody's the running back. Not everybody's the right guard. Not everybody's the kicker. But you've got a place, and you got to stir yourself. Sounds like the body of Christ. You see, not everybody is the pastor. Not everybody is the deacon or the worship leader or whatever it is, the one that counts the money or cleans the rest. But whatever you do is a part of the body of Christ. And until you learn how to embrace that and remove the negativity from that, then God can't take you anywhere else. He can't do anything with you. So I'm content with where I'm at, with what he's doing. Because these lives that he has put me in contact with by the power of the Holy Ghost, they're worthy to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, stir up the gift of God, which is in you, by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He has not given us a spirit of fear. So what he's saying is that the reason why people won't stir themselves up, the reason why people won't embrace what God has given them and bring their talents, bring their abilities, because of fear. That's what he's saying. Because they're afraid. They're afraid to go out on that limb. They're afraid to step up. They're afraid to step in their role, because society has painted a picture of what that looks like, and that's not really what they want. It's called lust of the flesh. They want what they want. You know, you may never pastor a church. You may never lead a song or worship before a congregation. You may never do any of those things. You may be emptying people's trash. You may be cleaning toilets. You may be an old coach like me, a dumbbell coach. Y'all know what a dumbbell is, don't you? I didn't say dumb. A dumbbell. It's something you lift. It's a piece of iron. But that's the platform, and that's the place that God has put me in front of people to listen. And it's not just them, but the other people who gather. It's the other people who sneak out from behind the walls. And what's he talking about? And the message that we've been ministering, that we started out when I got there, and I'm not going to go back and minister that. I'm not going to be up here long tonight. I have no idea, had no idea. Except to share with you what God is sharing with me to share with those kids and those coaches and the teachers that will listen. And that message that he gave me back at Fit and Wise, back in the spring, back before I even knew that this is where I was going to be, that I realized. And the message that keeps coming across is Luke 6 and 46. It says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying. So every day, even today, I had those kids gathered up, and I said, did you hear me? Well, yeah, coach. We're not talking about carnal ears. Hearing is down inside. I say the evidence that you hear is what you do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that a tree is known by its fruit. When I have to keep telling you the same thing over and over, lift that dumbbell like this, and I have to tell you every day, day by day, you're showing me that you don't hear me. But coach, I hear you. No, the evidence is in what you do. You see, the evidence of hearing is in what follows. You got to hear that. Jesus said, give them ears to hear. That deaf ears would pop open and blind eyes would see. That's what he said. You got to hear. You got to hear. And he says that whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now, it seems like when God gives you something and you read the scripture, that I'm constantly running to stuff where Jesus saying, hear my sayings. Hear what I have to say. It's always about hearing. But we don't know how to hear. It's like Kevin was saying, people don't know how to hear. They listen to a sermon and they met their quota of the day. They put in their time of their daily Bible reading. They said, bless me, keep your arm, let's go, praise God, and let's go into the world. But they don't really hear what's going on. You ask someone who reads a chat, ask yourself, when you get up and read your Bible in the morning, do you remember what you read by lunchtime? Be honest. You didn't? No, that's it. Because you've met your quota. Let me tell you what that's symbolic of. The flesh. Now, I'm just scraping the surface of several different things. Jesus talks about the man who hears is like a man who dug deep. And on our powerlifting shirts, because if you hadn't figured it out, I'm the powerlifting coach. That's the scripture that's on the back of our shirt. And what we'll be talking to our lifters about all year is about digging deep and building your house, your life, upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. But if you won't hear me, you can't. You won't. You'll never ever reach that rock. You'll never ever find the rock. You'll never ever dig deep. You got to hear. And another saying that we have with the kids that ties into that, just bear with me. I don't know what the Lord's doing, but I know what it's about. It's about Jesus Christ. Another saying that we have with our kids is, we are farmers. And the kids are like, yeah. You know, when you go into a place, and maybe you can relate this to your life and what's going on in your life, and you go somewhere and things are not working out so well. I've kind of alluded to that a little bit. It's not going quite the way that you think that it should. You know, I've never, ever heard of a farmer that buys a piece of property, goes out, tills the land, throws the seed down, and boom, it just cropped immediately. I've never heard of that. Matter of fact, he had to go and prepare the soil. He had some work. He had to remove some things out of the ground that didn't need to be there. Jesus is talking about a vineyard in Isaiah, and it says he removed the rocks. Now, he's not talking about the rock. He's talking about the things that hinder. He removed all those out of the way. He cultivated it, got it ready, planted the seed, and began to grow something. And so here we are in a program that is behind. Do you feel like you're behind ever? You ever feel like that you ought to be in a different place in your life? Boy, I thought 17 years ago, Kevin, I'd be somewhere different today. But maybe the reason why I'm not is because I thought I was entitled to something else. Maybe that was the flesh that was creeping in instead of listening to the Spirit of God about what His desire. And it doesn't mean that you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost and be led by the Spirit at times, but there's times we allow our flesh to rise up, and in doing so, that seed is uprooted. It's only a flesh seed. It's all it is. And when you get into to the farmer and we talk to these kids and say, you know, we're going to have to bust some rock, and there's going to be some days out there. There's going to be some days that you have to dig. There's going to be some days you have to go out and pull weeds out. There's going to be some days that your fingernails are going to be dirty. You're going to have to work, and it's not going to be fun. There's going to be times that your back is going to hurt, and you just don't want to go to work. But what I'm asking you to do is don't quit before payday. Don't quit before the harvest. Don't quit before the seed begins to germinate and grow. That's what it's like hearing the Word of God. That's why Kevin rewinds and listens again, because he's pressing it down in his spirit instead of receiving it to the flesh. You receive it to the flesh, yeah, it'll grow quickly, but it'll die quickly. The birds will come get it. So in Mark chapter 4, we are farmers. That's what we are. And so when we come in that weight room, if we're going to be shallow Christians, then we're just going to go to church one night a week and on Sunday morning, and that's about all we're going to get. We're going to be aware of the things of God, but the things of God are never going to get down into our garden. They're never going to get down into our spirit. Therefore, they'll never produce the fruit of God, but the fruit of the world. You got to understand that. Kids understand it. They're understanding it. Stir yourself up. What has God given you? Well, Coach, he's given me ability to do this. What is God? I was sitting in class, and I was sitting in there, and a young kid was sitting there, and we were talking about the things of the Lord. You can't do that. No, you won't do that. I do it. I'm going to. Because my job doesn't mean more to me than my Savior. And she said, troubled kid. Coach, I just need Jesus. Right in the middle of class, all the kids were like, I just need Jesus. These kids, the things that they're facing, that they're seeing, you wouldn't believe. She's telling me, she said, Coach, do you believe in ghosts? I said, I believe there's demons. She says, that's probably what they are. She said, they're walking through my house. I'm seeing doors slam and cabinets open and shut. I'm seeing stuff going on everywhere. I said, there's power in the name of Jesus. I said, yes, you need Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As this world gets darker and Hollywood gets darker and more stuff becomes acceptable, that stuff is becoming more and more prevalent. It's becoming evident to the natural eye.
And the kids, our kids know it, but the parents are so spiritually discerned, there's nobody to teach them. There's nobody to lead them. You know, I can't help to think, and I've been in reading about the kings of Israel and of Judah this week in 2 Chronicles. And how a king would have a righteous man would be raised up and obey the word of God. And he would be so easily swayed that if the prophet if things didn't line up just right, he would start gravitating toward the king of Israel, who was completely against God, in about 2 Chronicles chapter 18, 19, 20, in that area. And then you'd see another man that would raise up, and he would tear down the altars of Baal, the Asherah poles, and all this stuff. And then you'd see another one that would come in there and set them back up. And you'd see that they're just swaying side to side, and the inconsistency. And I sit there and I talk to people, and I don't want to get off track with this. But we are talking about being farmers. We're talking about pulling weeds out. We're talking about, as a program, as a team, about doing things right. Is everybody doing things right? Oh, absolutely not. But there is a standard that is set in our program and our team. I see the same thing in Judah. I see the same thing at times in Israel. That when the king declares, here's what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. Now, you can't convince me that every one of those people out there were honoring Jehovah God. But they did what the king said, and because of it, it brought blessing on the whole nation. You see, America's never been all in. But there was a time till we respected those boundaries. And to where people said, well, you know, it's not for me, whatever. But they respected and they did what they were supposed to do. There was a time. There was a time. And we're in a place now that if we don't stand up and fight, if we don't risk our jobs, if we don't become farmers and get that seed down inside of us, all is going to be lost, and you will be held accountable before God. You will be held accountable. That's just a side note. That's just a side note. And, you know, I want to share with you, turn with me if you would, praise God, to Ephesians. Let's just go to the next chapter and I'll be done. But I just want you to know tonight, my plan was is that be encouraged with where you're at, with where God has you. I don't know if it's the janitor, the custodian, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter. I don't know who it is that God's got you in contact with, but I assure you, if you're willing and obedient, God's going to open the door, and you're going to be able to sow the seed of God's word. There's nowhere that I ever go that a door's not open. I think it's funny that I can sit in a room at school and I have several different things that I do, and there may be other people around, and it can be completely silent. And then all of a sudden, somebody will say, well, Coach, what do you think about what's going on in our nation? I'm glad you asked. What do you think about this? Well, why do you think that is? That is because the Spirit of God sets those divine appointments to those who are willing and obedient to speak up and say something. The thing and I'm going to end with this, and I hope it'll be a... Well, I'm not going to say nothing beyond that. But in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, I was talking to the kids at another part. And again, this is what we do all day. You have to understand that. This goes on all the time. Because that's what we're supposed to do. It's a continual flow. Like Kevin was saying, continually, this is what we're supposed to do. And I was talking to them, I believe it was even this morning or yesterday, I was talking to them about spiritual bench pressing. I was talking about Philippians, which is resist the devil. What is that? James 4, 7. Submit to God. 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 Submit to the Word of God. Submit to the Word of God. Submit to Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. Resist the devil. And it works out real well because they're in there doing this. I said, come on. Now let me show you something. What's happening to your body? Well, Coach, we're kind of getting swole up, kind of getting tight. There's some stuff. I said, when you submit to God, then spiritually you become swole up. The Word of God begins to get down inside of you, and now you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You can resist the devil. What we have is we have carnal people standing against the devil and getting their teeth kicked in. That's what's going on. And that ties all the way. All this is tying together somehow for somebody. In Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. But there is a carnal word that's sown. There is a hearing, and then there's a hearing. Okay? There is a resistance, and then there's a resistance. There is a natural resistance. Then there's a spiritual resistance that brings forth fruit, that causes demons to flee, that binds the powers of hell in your home, that looses the light in your house, that the gospel may be preached, that souls may be won. There's a difference. And most people have no idea. They have no clue. Quote this, say this, read this. Good stuff. But it's got to get down inside of it. Keep going back to what he said, he rewound. Rewind. Read your chapter, rewind. Read your chapter, rewind. I got to get four chapters in. No, maybe you only need to get this much in. Maybe if you can get this, if you can get one seed in, just the size of a mustard seed. Come on now. If you can just get one down inside of you. And all of us have been given the measure of faith. Not a measure, the measure. All of us. God already started it. He already primed the well, so to speak. In Ephesians 6:10, it fits right into that spiritual bench pressing. It says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You cannot be strong in the Lord until you submit to God. It's not possible. We were taking Ephesians 6, our team, and on Friday before a ball game, we would take a piece of armor. And I'm telling you what, God would take that piece of armor and just expound it. We would run out of time. We would only have about a 30-minute slot where I'd have the kids in there, and we would be talking about these things before we go on the field. And one of the first things that's said here, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor of God is Jesus Christ. Put on Christ. He's complete. And then it goes on to say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness, and against darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are ranked orders of demons. They're there. And it also, when Paul was writing this, there's some evidence that there in the Romans, when they would fight, that they would fight to the death. And when they would fight to death, they would at least fight to blindness. And so we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of darkness, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, here we go again, teen talk. We're talking to kids again. Okay, Johnny, you come over here and you're going to fight Clay. Okay, we're going to wrestle. We do that stuff, Nanner. We fight. We do it. We got to teach them how to be men because the world's teaching them how to not be men. We got to. We got to teach them how to fight so they can stand up for their wives and children. Now, I'm not trying to be carnal. But football, God could care less about football, but since he gave it to me, it's a tool to grow them up to be men of God. And so when I tell them, I say, what would you think? Oh, I'm tired, coach. I just got through lifting weights. We just got through doing 700 squats and all this and all running. So, okay, here's the deal. Okay, whoever can win here, I'm going to give you this. You can gouge his eyes out. Well, I ain't tired no more. You see, if you realize how big this was, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that the devil comes to blind you. The minds of those, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he blinds them. Those who do not believe. Those who never let the seed of God's word get down inside. They keep it in a carnal measure. And so if you thought that you were going to be physically blinded or lose your life, I bet you'd find the energy to fight. I bet you'd stir yourself up a little bit. I bet you'd reach down inside. I know I got something. I'm not going to lay there and say, that's exactly. When I say church, I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. That's exactly what's going on. Willful blindness, laying on their back, purring like a cat that just got fat eating a meal, and blind me, Satan. Preach to me what I want to hear. I don't care if Goliath walked in this room. He's got the power to kill you physically. You're going to have to fight. And at some point, you're going to have to get the seed of God's word down inside of you so you can fight. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the enemy. And if you don't wrestle, listen, I don't know if y'all caught it yet. I feel the same way Kevin did. If you don't wrestle, you don't tap out. There's no tap out. The devil ain't going to let you tap out. You're not getting out. I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. Too bad, sucker. You're going to die. Do you understand the difference here, what he's talking about? These are spiritual things he's talking about. You don't get to get tired. I got a hangnail, coach. Can I see the trainer? And I'm out for 2 weeks. I got a concussion. If you really, yeah, we didn't know what that was. I'm not saying that. Don't pervert what I'm saying. And, you know, if somebody's hurt, that's... But I'm talking about spiritual things here. So if you just focused on the other, you ain't got it yet. You don't hear me. The devil will kill you legally. He will blind people walking, dead people. I see dead people. Dead people. That's why there's no power. That's why nothing's happening. Because they're laying on their back and the devil's on top of them with his thumbs knuckle deep in their eye sockets and he's trying to rip out their throat. And God said, hold on, hold on. No, no. Repent! Like, we keep wanting to do it our way. We keep sitting there complaining, griping, bellyaching about where God has got you instead of, well, bless God, I got to empty the trash today, but I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus when I'm doing it. God has done a work in me, and he's got plenty more to do. But in this area, he has done a work. The first time since 5-6 years, I haven't complained one day about my job. In my head or to anybody else. I haven't. Do I get tired? Yeah. You would too. Yeah. Do I need some rest sometimes? Yeah, I do. But this is where God has me. And if I die right where I'm at, I'm going to die telling somebody about Jesus. It don't make any difference. That's just the way it's going to be. And so it goes on in verse 13. Take to you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. And then it goes on to 14. It says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. The loins refer to your mind. I believe that. The loins refer to your mind. Be ye transformed, Romans 12:2, by the renewing of your mind. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. Metamorphosis. There is a literal transformation. That was our talk today. And you say, you have a lot of talks in one day. Yeah, we got lots of people that come through. When you do it all day, there's plenty to talk about. God keeps giving you stuff. And what I like about it is I don't have to have a plan. All I got to do is spend time with God, spend time in the Word, meditate on the Word, and all of a sudden, he brings up the Word at the proper time when it needs to be applied. There's a lesson in that. There's a lot of people that got their sermon saved up for the next year. There ain't nothing wrong with taking notes. There ain't nothing wrong studying, show yourself approved. The Bible says do that. But you've got to let God direct what he wants to do and when he wants to do it. Your job is to study, so he's got a well to draw from, which is himself, when he says, present the gospel of Jesus Christ. The people don't study, and then when they do start studying, they still begin to be God of self, and they start to think more themselves than they ought. Now, all of a sudden, they're preaching the message, the word is going forth, but there's no anointing on it because they're directing what's going forth instead of the Holy Spirit directing what's going forth. We are farmers. We are farmers. We sow the seed, but we also understand that Jesus is the one who sowed the seed. God sowed his son, and we receive that seed down into our spirit that we may produce fruit and we may be dead to ourselves. Now, I've got to read something to you here real quick. Lord, show me where it is. Praise God. It's somewhere. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know him, because they are spiritually discerned. He doesn't receive. The natural man is talking about your flesh. Your flesh. You know, I always saw that as the natural man being someone who's not born again, just someone completely set aside. And that may be true. There's some truth in that. But I also see that as us, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Jesus freaks, that you have a natural man. Paul said, let not the sin nature rule in your mortal body in Romans chapter 6. That natural man can rise up. And when you begin to tap into the natural man, when you begin to govern and direct your own life without the leadership of the Holy Ghost, you become a natural man and you can't discern anything. You just got a bunch of words coming out of your mouth. And the sheep are so blind. They've been wrestled with and jumped on so much. They've been held down so long that they could put a donkey up here and they'll listen. Matter of fact, they need a donkey. There's one donkey that spoke the truth I know of. And it says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, we gird our loins with truth. We put the word of God in. The spiritual mind. We put the word of God in. We flush out the world. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. Our kids understand a little bit about a football uniform, and they understand that there's a covering on the chest that protects the vital organ. Protect your heart. Be careful what you're hanging with. Like Kevin said, and I say this all the time, and those kids just... I said, when you go to Walmart and you see the girl standing in front of you that she don't have no clothes on, go over here behind the other guy with the overalls on with the hairy back, stand behind him. That'll help keep your mind pure. And if it doesn't, you got real problems. You need to be delivered. Big time. Matter of fact, that was another thing I was just telling them today. And it, they're hearing. I'm just trying to press it down in their spirit. I'm trying to push it down in there. Protect your heart. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you hang around. And let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If I have a football player and he's wearing basketball shoes on the football field, he's going to slip down a whole lot. We got to be shod. We got to be walking in the way that Christ has called us to walk. We got to be walking the direction he's called. And that really ties back to what I just said. Be content with such as you have. Be content with where God has you right now in your life. Because until you learn that, he cannot do anything else. He won't. Be content. Now, you might do something else. I've done some things. I've done some things. I made some decisions because I thought I needed to help God out. And I said, well, the Holy Ghost leading me to do this. Well, the evidence was it didn't work out. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. When God leads you somewhere, you may not understand it, but it'll always work out. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We stand behind faith. I hate to tell you guys this because it may make me look bad, but I don't really care because it's not about me. But I still got a little bit of fight in me sometimes. And sometimes somebody can say something at school or something like that, and you bristle up and you say something, and after you said it, oh, that wasn't from the Lord. It doesn't mean you can't speak up and you can't correct something, but sometimes we want to add a little bit of our own stuff to it. I know y'all don't do that here. Okay, I know that never happens. But all I've got to do is stand behind that shield of faith. All I got to do is stand behind. I can't stand in faith and operate like the world operates. That's fear. That's what it is. You know, our definitions are so perverted. And it's like when I go to class, I'll ask the kids, well, what is fear? And I'll make them write about it. And we'll talk about it. What is judgment? They don't even know. Well, judgment means you're talking to me. I said, well, you made a judgment to come to school today. You made a judgment to put on clothes. Thank you. You made a judgment to study for this test. Are you going to fail this class? You make judgments all the time. You make judgments what you're going to eat for lunch, who you're going to sit by. You make judgments all the time. You don't understand judgment. And when we start talking about this stuff, people don't understand basic definitions. They don't understand words. All they know is what the liberal left has taught them. And it's evil. It's demonic. It's the spirit of fear. That's right. Promotes the flesh. Promotes the flesh. Amen. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And that's been a hard one. Because sometimes, instead of just standing with that shield of faith, standing behind the word of God and saying, no, bless God, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to stand on the word, and I'm going to stand, therefore, I'm going to stand. Sometimes we like to drop that shield so we can pick up our own rock and chunk it. Or use our own weapons. And sometimes it's your tongue. I've only been guilty once or twice. I'm sure some of y'all way more than that. But just once or twice in my lifetime. And even though I was serving God and God hadn't left me, hadn't departed from me, there was still some damage and some things that had to be cleaned up because I didn't handle it in the right way. Even though I was 100% right and I shouldn't have been under attack, bottom line is I didn't handle the attack correctly because the attack was coming to make me the man of God he's called me to be for bigger things he's got on the horizon. But until we get this under control, we can't get there. Where's there? I don't know. Right now, it's coaching high school football. It's being a dumbbell coach. I don't know. And so it goes on to say, and take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet. Put your helmet on. Protect your salvation. There's a move that says that your salvation is eternal. When Jesus says, who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, we could preach on that for hours, and it's been preached on before. But protect your salvation. Put your helmet on. We are smart enough in the natural realm to not allow a football player to go on the field without a helmet. And if he gets caught, if his helmet falls off, then the official sends him to the sidelines. He has to come out one play. If there's any kind of anything broke, he has to come off the field. We ought to learn something in the church about that. Put your helmet on. We're getting people out there on the field that are getting their brains beat out, spiritually speaking, but in the natural realm, concussion. Let me say it in the spiritual realm. Concussion! And it's legit. It's legit. They got spiritual concussions everywhere. It's evident. People, they don't have a word. People are not ready in season, out of season. So he says, I'll pray for you, brother. Nobody will pray publicly. They're ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. They don't have a clue who they are. They don't know what the image of God is. They don't understand the purpose of God. You'd have to have a concussion for a boy to want to marry a boy. You'd have to have a mental, spiritual, demonic mental disorder. But the power of God is good enough. The power of God is more than good enough. The blood of Jesus is enough to set a man or a woman free from these conditions. And it goes on to say, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword is an offensive and a defensive weapon. It is to advance and it is to protect. That's what the sword is for. And we talked to the kids about that in Proverbs 27, I believe. Is iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Because I struggle sometimes, and sometimes I gotta, and this is a good thing, keep myself in check. And I say, you know what? This game is so carnal, God. Are you sure you got me here? Are you sure, God, if I'm not hearing right, please. We're teaching these kids to be men, but we're teaching them to physically run over people. We're teaching them to be bigger, stronger, faster. God, if something's wrong here, but I also see that iron has to be sharpened. And I also see that man has a place that God has ordained for him to be. And I get greatly encouraged when I read the Old Testament, because that's where men were really men. And I see the apostles who lost their lives. So what teaching teaches us, and one dies on an island of Patmos. And I see the persecution in these men. These are real men. And men right now, they squat and squeal. If you just threaten, then they said, we'll behead you. We'll crucify you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know what, brother, you may. But Jesus died on the cross for you, and he loves you. They come in now, and they say, Monica, don't you talk about Jesus. I won't do it. I won't do it. Okay, I'm sorry. Spiritual weaklings. Sissies. I believe in Jesus, but I trust in my $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 job more than I do my eternal salvation with Jesus Christ. I don't believe he can take care of me, but I believe he's going to save me from hell and take me to a place far, far away that I've never seen. That's called idolatry, by the way. That's what it's called. I believe when the Spirit of God gets in somebody and gets on somebody, at that proper time, it may not be at this minute. I'm not ready at this very moment. But I believe when the Spirit of God comes upon you, if he's in you, he's going to get all over you. And if the time comes for you to be martyred, he'll get you through it. I believe it. I can't prove that, except that Stephen saw him standing up and he was getting pelted upside the head with stones. I see the Son of God. He said, quack, stand, go, throw another one, because I'm getting closer every time you hit me. I don't know what that felt like. I don't know if the Lord numbed that a little bit or what, but man, I can only imagine you saw Jesus. I don't imagine you'd feel a whole lot. He wasn't a man of the flesh. He was a man that was in the Spirit. They couldn't see it. He saw him. Think about that. How in the world are you ever going to stand? And I don't know what God has called for you. How are we ever going to stand in that? We can't even stand in this world in our classrooms, in our jobs. We can't even stand and tell people about Jesus there. We're scared. We're afraid you're going to get fired. But the God that you trust, you don't believe can pay the bills and rain down manna from heaven that he can't provide. That's fear. That's not faith. That's because the Word of God has never... Let me tell you this, and I'm going to end this. If you will start meditating the Word of God, and you'll start thinking on the Word of God, quit trying to cover so much ground. Some of you are trying to do that. Quit trying to put a time clock on your time with the Lord and all that, and take the Lord with you when you get up. Y'all remember the dream I had, the lamb in the backyard. And I locked him up in my garage. That's when we first repented. And I knew that this meant something. We left for the evening, but we didn't want to leave him outside. We didn't want the coyotes to eat him. It's just a little old lamb. And I remember that the next day we come home, let him outside and let him go to the restroom and all that. And I remember I was standing in church 3 months later and I kept asking the Lord, what does this mean? I knew it meant something. I just knew this was from the Lord. And I'm standing in church and God says, don't lock me up. take me with you everywhere you go. That vision, that dream that God gave me changed my life. Now, I had already repented, but because I truly repented, now God was beginning to direct me and lead me. Now, there's a lot of other areas he's still working on. Please, I'm a work in progress, and I will be. The rest of this natural body, till this body of death, this dirt suit goes down, he's still working on me. But when he told me that, that changed and what we're talking about now. And I started taking this, not literally this Bible 17 years ago, started taking it to school with me. And I would read the word that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he may sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. That he may sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the word. By sanctifying, washing, the cleansing. Hey! About third period. Because I, on purpose, would meditate the word that I was getting in the morning. On purpose, I would stir myself up. And all of a sudden, it's almost like when you least expect it, it's like, whoa! And you're looking for a pen and a piece of paper. And God starts doing. But the Lord told Joshua, said, meditate this book of the law continually. You're farmers. Think about a farmer in the spirit realm, what you've got to do with this seed, what you've got to do to produce a harvest. And we don't want to stop once we get a little bit of fruit, because if we don't continue tending our garden, then that's going to be it. You'll go through a dry spell. And you want to put some back, and you want to keep eating on the Lord, keep feasting on the Lord continually, just like your prayer life. It never stops. So if you don't hear anything else tonight, just understand that, meditate this word and let this word get down in your spirit. Continually. Because even in those times where I make a knuckleheaded decision, I'm going to have to be honest. It's been three times I've done it. A while ago I said two. All right. Lord, I don't remember how many. But anyway, if that word is in you, it always bubbles back up and begins to convict you. If you're not under conviction when you're disobeying the word of God, and anyone that tells me that they don't from time to time, they're a liar. If there's no conviction, there's no presence of God. John 16:8. There's no presence of God. But you're going to have to show, just like to your coaches, you're going to have to show that you want to be on this team. I've got kids walking the hallways that have not joined our team yet. They need to be there. They need to be there. But they've got to come to practice. I'm not going to just say, hey, you're on the team, and just let them go walk the hallways and never come to practice. Not going to do it. You're going to come, and you're going to do your part, and we're going to find out where your place is in the body on the team. And we're going to help you become everything God has called you to be right there. You're going to be a team player. You're not going to be selfish. You're going to do your part. If your part is to clean the restroom, that's what you're going to do. If your part is to block, that's what you're going to do. And if you can't do that, then you do us a great favor. Didn't a lot of people leave this church? They did y'all a great favor. A great favor. Unfortunately, we love those people and everything, but some of those things have to happen. On teams. See, I see the church in the football team. And we talk about this stuff. So I'm rambling. That's really all I had tonight. If I said something that meant something to somebody, well, praise God. You're farmers, and you have the power to stir yourself up. You have that ability. God has given it to you. You can either do it or not do it. Tomorrow's a new day. Tonight's a new day. On your way home, just start praising God. I got about an hour. I get to praise God for about an hour, and then I get to praise Him when I get there until I fall asleep. Amen? Amen. All right.
Amen. So, as he was talking, this is what I got. Wrestle. What does that mean? He's talking about wrestling. What does that mean? How am I going to apply that to my life? What does it mean, wrestle? What are we wrestling? Okay. Anybody else? Fear, okay. Flesh, tell me what, and you're right, but I think a lot of times we say flesh, but we don't know what the flesh is. Flesh is just one of those words that we throw out there, but we don't know how to break it down and how to combat it. You see what I'm saying? We can say flesh, but a lot of times we don't know what the flesh persists of, so we can't identify the things when it comes against us. Does that make sense? Lust of it, okay. What else? Huh? Our thoughts, okay. You know what I think the biggest wrestling thing is? Because here's the deal. You don't wrestle with your thoughts, a lot of times it's already got you in a headlock. Lori Ann, you don't wrestle fear, it's already got you. Flesh, we don't wrestle, it's got us. It's already got its thumbs in our eyes, like he was saying a while ago. You see what I'm saying? I mean, fear many times already got its thumbs in our eyes, and it's got us on the ground, and it's got us there, and we really don't know what to do to move, because sometimes when we move, you ever got a thorn in your foot, and when you move, it hurts even worse, and so we try not to put any pressure on it. So what's that wrestling? I don't think many of us wrestle. I think we lay there in a submission hold. That's where I'm headed. That's where I'm headed. So that wrestling, okay, let's take fear. Let's take thought life. Let's take flesh. Whatever it is. Let's take that. What is the battle? I can identify the enemy, amen, but what is the battle? I'm going to tell you what the battle is. The battle's not the fear because it's there, right? The battle's not the flesh because it's there. We're imprisoned by it. That's why Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? What's the battle? Here is the battle. Here's where the wrestling, if you want to get in the match, here's what's going to have to happen. The battle is this. The battle comes against you to keep you from getting into prayer, to keep you from getting into the Word. And if the enemy can keep you from getting into prayer, and besides just walking around doing, can keep you from spending quality time with God, then the natural result is thought life, fear. But the battle's this. The battle is wrestling against myself in order to get in there to do what needs to be done in order so that fear no longer has its thumbs in my eyeballs. And here's, do you see what I'm saying? And many times we know that the fear's there. We know that the thought life's there. We know, and church, can I just talk to you just for a couple more minutes? Come on. Listen to me. Don't look at my messed up hair. Can I just talk to you for a second? Let me tell you what the true issue is. It's not fear. It's not thoughts. I don't know. And I don't know this with everybody. I really don't. I'm going to talk about my own personal life. Let me tell you what the true issue. The true issue is not the amount of fear, not the amount of flesh, not the amount of this, not the amount of that. The true issue is lack of something. Lack of prayer. Lack of spending that time. I'm not saying with you. I'm just saying. I'm talking about me. Lack of that time of getting in. Here's where we got to get. And I know that there's some. Paul said this. And here's where you got to get also. We got to get a couple places here as a body of Christ. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, Ronnie, that he wrestled with. Remember that? Paul had a thorn in his flesh that he wrestled with. And Paul even said that Satan had been sent to buffet him. And this sword, this thorn that was in his flesh was even for him to keep from becoming high-minded about the revelations that he had. Amen? So here's where we got to be. Two places, which seems like they're complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Number one, Paul said, Lord, when are you going to remove this thorn from my flesh? The Lord said, my grace is sufficient. You think Paul was a man of prayer? I do. Right, I do. Now, Ronnie said something a while ago. Man, what was it you said? It jumped out to me. Golly, I couldn't wait to get up here because I was going to say something about it. Now I forgot. Lord, bring it back. But here's where we got to be. And don't take this as a condemning way. Don't take this as in the wrong way, because this is what God shows me about me. Amen? Usually when I'm going through the hardest struggles in my life, there's two things that are happening. Either I'm growing, amen, or somewhere I've slacked up in my prayer life. Amen. Now here's where we get. Brady's an excellent musician, but him being an excellent musician doesn't replace his prayer life. You're an excellent singer, Sharon, but just because you got a gift to sing, that doesn't replace your prayer life. I'm a preacher, but that doesn't replace my prayer life. See, many, many times we take the gifts that we have and we try to use those to replace. Does that make sense? So, Lord, help me how to say this. So, where we got to get, where you and I have got to get, the battles that we go through, the wrestling that we go through, is this. We can go through religious motions. We can open up women's homes. We can open up men's homes. Amen. We can do this. We can do that. And many, many times we do all of these motions, trying to create a sense of religion. But really, behind the scenes, there's no prayer life. There's no study time. There's no word. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to create this religiosity as a facade of where some, but our true spirituality doesn't come from all that. It comes from God. Does that make sense? So Paul, as he goes through, he says, Lord, he says, take this thorn from my flesh. And Lord says, my grace is sufficient. So what is God's grace? I was talking about this on Sunday. God's grace was the ability working in Paul to keep him from giving in. You see that? Look at me now. So what is Paul? Paul is crying out about this thorn in his flesh, about this thing going on inside him. He's right where you're at. Crying out to God. Say, God, I asked the Lord three times, take this thorn out of my flesh. I don't know exactly what it was. I know Paul said that he knew that everywhere he went that there was going to be death and jail waiting on him in every city he went into. You know. But the Lord answered him. After he asked three times, he said, Lord, take his flesh out. Take his thorn from my flesh. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. So many, many times when we look at our life and we're bellyaching and complaining about something that's going on, we're bellyaching and complaining about the thorn in the flesh, and what we don't even recognize is the strength that we have to make it through is the grace of God working in our life, but we don't even recognize God's grace working in our own life. Amen? So, the wrestling that we have, here's the biggest wrestling. Let me show you the biggest wrestling match I got. I can't speak for everybody. Let me tell you me. Spending time with God. I got to fight myself on a daily basis. I just come clean with y'all. And sometimes those are harder than others. That's the wrestling match with me. Now, some days I choose not to get into the match. What does that mean? Some days I choose not to enter. What does that mean? Huh? Exactly right. There's been days I choose not to get into the rink. There's been days I get up in the morning and the opponent has showed up there waiting on me, or whatever it is in our life. There's days that I've got up and the opponent is there. Well, who's the opponent? The opponent is the I don't want to's.
The opponent is, I don't feel like it. The opponent is, I don't have time. The opponent is, I overslept. The opponent is, I got to go. And I choose not to wrestle with him. And when I don't wrestle with him, I forfeited.
And what happens when a team forfeits, coach? Am I talking to anybody today? That's the true, I believe that's the true match. And the enemy shows up. How many days a week do we forfeit to the desire? Don't pray, don't read, don't study. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. And oh, that's what you said a while ago. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for bringing it back. He said, the Holy Ghost gives those that are spending time with him the opportunity to speak to others because he knows they'll do it. I always wondered that answered my question. Like, Lord, why do you give me so many opportunities to speak to people about you? So that's the biggest, I believe that's the biggest wrestling that you and I wrestle against. Let me run through that one more time. It's the I don't want to's. It's the I don't have times. It's the I don't want to be religious. It's whatever it is. But whatever it is, whether you get up in the morning, I know it's happened to me many times. I mean, there's mornings I get up and I will literally sit there. And this morning was one of them. I will literally sit there and say, no, I'm not moving. I'm not doing anything else until I spend some time with God. Put you in the headlock. You see what I'm saying? Because the enemy had come in, and I said that out loud in my hotel room this morning. I sat there, and I was getting dressed, and I make sure everything was in place, and I put my clothes back in my bag, and I was doing everything. I went and worked out. I'd done everything, and I was getting ready to go, and I was looking at my watch. I said, man, I got to get. And I sat there, and I finally stopped, and I said, no, I'm not doing nothing until I spend time with God. Then I went, and I started reading the Word, and that's when that jumped out at me, just a couple of verses right there. Now, I could come in here. I got enough Word in me, Brady. I got enough the Bible in me, and I've got enough charisma within myself and an ability to speak that I can come in here and preach a message and make it sound good and people get excited. But that's not a replacement for my time with God. Because I can come in here and steal if I'm drying up in my own life. So that's the wrestle, that's the battle that 95% of the so-called people coming to the building or the church is losing today. I believe it with all my heart. That's the wrestling match that we're losing. That's the wrestling match we're not even entering in. You wake up in the morning, and he's right there. You ain't got time today. You just went to church yesterday. It's Monday. You just went to church yesterday. Just turn it on your radio. Let somebody else do all the studying. Let somebody else do all the praying. Let somebody else do everything else. And then you just come to the trough and drink. No. Just open you up a devotional. Let somebody else do all the studying. Let somebody else do all the looking in the Greek. Let somebody else spend all the time. And let other people's experiences with God keep on robbing you of your own experiences because you're settling for what's good instead of what's best. And we wonder why we dry up. That's the wrestling match. Am I talking to anybody in here? That's the wrestling match. And here's the sad deal. Many of us were forfeiting, not even getting into the match. He shows up. Oh, you don't understand what you're going to read anyway. Okay, might as well not do that. Oh, you don't know what to pray about anyway. Okay, might as well not do that either. Okay, I'll just turn on the preacher on TV. Forfeiting, 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 forfeiting. He's called us, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against something. And here's the deal. I think many, many times today, there's been so put out there that don't allow your serving Christ to become religious. If we get up and pray at a certain time every day, we call that being religious. You know why I like to pray at a certain time every day? Because I get up early, and if I don't do it then, chances are I ain't going to get it done later on in the day. So you know what? I like to be religious about it. Amen. So that's my that is my challenge to me. And I spend time with God. I spend time. But on the days that I don't, I try to squeeze that time in there. I say, okay, yeah, I want to take him with me. You know, I like to take my wife with me when I go places too, but then there's times I just like to be with her. Amen? I won't take God with me. See, when I take him with me, that's when I'm that's when I'm going down the road and I'm praising him, telling other people about him, doing all that stuff. But that's the match right there. I believe it. And if I was to go around this room, I can't say it with everybody, and there's 12 or 15 of us in here, 20 of us in here, counting there. If I was to go around there, I will guarantee you that's your match. Not because you've come and told me. I know. I will guarantee you that's your match. And here is the deal. You said flesh a while ago. Oh, sister, how I agree with you. How I agree. But Paul said something. He said that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do I walk in the Spirit? Being filled. What I was talking about earlier, right? Being filled, singing psalms, see, when I am obedient to God's word, I've got his promise of being filled. That's through prayer. Got a text the other morning. You know, a lot of times y'all send texts, and then y'all start blowing up the phones in the morning, man. These texts in the morning, it makes me mad. You know what makes me mad? Because I know y'all are sitting there doing it, and I'm driving, trying to read them, going off in the bar ditch and all that stuff or whatever. I got $200,000 worth of cars on there, and y'all 56 texts, bring, bring, bring. I'm trying to read them. I'm hitting them little, you know what deals I'm talking about. I got to throw it in the back seat. I'm afraid I'm going to miss something good. That's the wrestling match. The struggle's real. But that's my challenge to you. Quit forfeiting. Somebody's winning, and if you forfeit, it's not you. Amen? That makes sense? Quit forfeiting. Don't forfeit your prayer time. Don't forfeit your reading time. Don't forfeit your time with God. And listen, I don't care if it starts out, if it's 5 minutes. I remember Monica used to live with us. Man, she's crazy. She'd get up. I'd get up 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, go get a drink of water, and she'd be in there. Not only would she be in there sometimes praying, sometimes she'd be in there working out. I'm like, what are you doing? You on drugs? Well, I figured God woke me up for a reason. I can understand the praying, but you working out. Don't forfeit. Lorraine, don't forfeit. Don't forfeit. Amen. Kenley, don't forfeit. Brady, don't forfeit. Kevin Alexander, don't forfeit. Amen. I am going to get up, and I'm going to wrestle against that stinking flesh. I'm going to wrestle against fear. I'm going to wrestle against it because fear comes on me. I ain't scared of nothing, but fear still comes on me. You know the kind of things I worry? Fear that comes on me is worried about the future. How am I going to set my wife up? How am I going to set my kids up? That's the kind of fear that comes on me. Amen? Amen. But I got to wrestle. And how do I wrestle against that? How do I get in a match against that? How do I get into it? I start getting into God's promises that he's told me about, not fearing. I start getting into God's promises. So anytime that there's a wrestling match, I was watching UFC. I was laying in a hotel room the other night, and I know Ronnie's talking about coaching, but I was watching the UFC, and these people in the room and in this octagon, and they're fighting, and they're going backwards and forth. But they would study each other. They study each other before they went into the match. And your enemy has studied you. He studied you. He studied you. He knows how to trip you up. That's why the Bible tells us that we are not to be what? Ignorant to the vices of the enemy. to his schemes. Listen, you're going to have to get in the wrestling match. You're going to have to get in the match, or you're just going to lay there in a submission hold. And the enemy, when he gets a hold of you, if he's got his thumbs in your eyes, if he's got, I learned that in the UFC, doesn't that throw you off? But if he's got your thumbs in your eyes, listen, you can feel the pain. You can feel the fear. You can feel the flesh. You can feel all that. But you can't see what needs to be done. And the biggest wrestling match we have is against just don't do it. You ain't got time. Come on, you're a Christian. Come on, when I'm going down the road, I'll get my praise on then. We're not getting in the match. Create, and I will guarantee you, if everybody in this church would start doing that, let me tell you how to change this church. I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you how to change this church. If everybody in this church, if people were as quick, you can turn that camera off. If people were as quick to pray about what's going on in this church as they are to talk about what happened in this church. Yes. Huh? Yeah, people will sit around, they talk about this, instead of praying about it. Or your own part, whatever it is, life. But that's the match right there. That's the match. That's the wrestling. Wrestling. But the enemy comes in and tells you, you ain't got time to pray, don't do this, don't do that. We forfeit it. Even though we come in here, we want everybody to think we do. But if we just get right down to it, if I was a betting man, I'd slide all my coins in. I truly would. I'd take what little gold I got, what little silver I got, and I'd slide it right to the middle. And I'd call the bluff on the people. And I would make that bet that 90% of the body of Christ, maybe even higher, I would make that bet all in, Ronnie. And I tell you, I'd say, you want to make a good investment? You got some gold, you got some silver, you got some money? Come in, all in. You want to make a good investment? All in. Put it right here. I'm going to tell you how to get a return. Put it right here. Well, what's the bet you're taking, Kevin? That 90% of the body of Christ don't spend even a solid 10 minutes a day in prayer. All in. I'm all in. Yeah. I'm about two. I'm all in. All in right here. All in. I show you how to double your money, triple your money, quadruple it. That's what's wrong with the church. Because if that wasn't going on, they wouldn't be listening to these goofy preachers. If that wasn't going on, they wouldn't be seeking the lust and the things of the world. If that wasn't going on, they wouldn't be looking for people to tickle their ears. People that spend time with God, truly seeking the heart of God, they don't fall for that mess. Amen. All right, that's all we got to say tonight. Let's stand up. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for who you are. Lord God, we thank you for the word tonight. Father God, I just pray over the people in this body, Lord. I lift up this body, Father. Lord God, I just lift up Miss Lori, Lord. I know she's just been battling fear and battling security and battling so many things, Lord. You know what, Lori? We just love you. Amen. And we love your coconut pies and all the food that you make and everything, amen. Causes us to love you even more, amen. So when you bring food, that's just more of you to love. Amen. Now let me tell you something. You know why sometimes you feel like you do? You
know, I hadn't been taking my medicine.
That's okay. That's all right. Well, hey, if that's what you gotta do, then do it.
Okay.
Amen. Hey, if a diabetic needs insulin, take insulin. Amen. Praise God. But number two also is listen.
is you've got a gift of hospitality, and the enemy's going to do anything that he can to keep you away from people in order to keep that gift from coming. The Bible talks about hospitality in the book of Acts. Amen? So he wants to plug you up. Amen? He wants to stop you. Amen? You got to rest him. You got to rest him. All right?
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you know what? Some folks in here, let me tell y'all this, all right, real quick. Some of y'all in here, you may be on medications, whether it's, and I know that some of y'all may just flip smooth out when I say this, but there's some folks in here need medications. You know, we got some folks in here that are battling cancer right now that they need some medications. Amen. We got some folks that got diabetes and they need their insulin. Amen. We got some folks that got acid reflux. They need their whatever it is they take. All right. And I believe that truly, just in the same way that sometimes your body does not produce what it's supposed to produce because of the world that we live in and the foods that we eat today and all the radioactive whatever it is flying through the air and everything, that article that you sent me the other day, I believe that affects with people's head. And some people may have to take prescription drugs in order to get the chemicals in their brain flowing right. But don't feel condemned if you got to do that. Amen? And then there will come a time, Lori, that if the Lord wants you off of that, then he'll get you off of that. Amen? But don't sit there and just beat yourself up over it. Because I was just reading, well, I ain't even going to go into it because I'll preach for another 30 minutes. Amen? But if you need to take it, take it. Amen? There will come a time, just like Ronnie said, he says, if the Lord's going to move you, he said, he'll know when the Lord's going to move you. And sometimes God, he wants to build us up spiritually. And then there'll come a time when he says, hey, I want you to start laying this down. Some people may happen supernaturally, may boom, boom, boom. Some it may not, but you can't try to compare yours to what happened to everybody else. This is your personal walk with God. God's not a computer God where he does everything exactly the same with everybody. Amen? Amen. Ain't no condemnation. Amen. Some of you may agree with that. Some of you may not. I don't care. Because some of us will walk around holier now, patting ourselves on the back saying, I ain't have to take no psych drugs. But, man, we'll be taking other stuff because maybe hormones in your body ain't doing what you're supposed to do. Huh? Well, if your hormones ain't flowing, what makes you think your brain juice can't flow? Come on now. See how we are sometimes? That's all I got to say. See y'all Sunday. Amen. Peace out, y'all.